Hey, in our last class, we saw shloka number 4. And the shloka number 4 is trying to establish I am Nitya. Atma is Nitya. How does it go about? So, if you remember, we talked about it in shloka number 2. There is a pratignya vakya, then there is the hetu, and then there is the udhara. So, following that same logic, in the first shloka, the first shloka was the mangala shloka, the mangala. In the second shloka, Ahavasmi sadabhami kadachinnahamapriha. In that, the pratignya was Atma is not different from Brahman. Why is the statement made Atma is not different from Brahman? Is because Atma has similar nature as Satchitananda. And Brahman also has this. So like Brahman. So example is Brahman. So because Brahman has the nature of Satchidananda and Atma is found to have the nature of Satchidananda, therefore Atma is not different from Brahman. This is what, in nutshell, the summary. Then in shloka number 3, the statement was, I am Sarvajna Sarvakara. Atma is knower of all and cause of all. Why? What is the reason to make that statement? This entire world has come about in me, the Atma. So the entire world has come about in me means the world is nothing but a projection on the surface. So because it is a projection, who is knowing the projection? I. So because I know the projection, I become the knower of this entire world. What about those things that I also don't know? Well, if I say I don't know something, I have to know that I don't know. How can I say that I don't know without knowing? So therefore, I know that which I know, and I also know that which I don't. I, the Atma. So therefore, Atma is all known. Now, we said the world is a projection. So if the world is a projection, then I am the one that caused the projection. Atma is the one that caused the projection. So therefore, I am the cause of all. And what is the example? Gandharva city. Like how the city is imagined up in the sky, in the clouds, like that. Or in dream, we imagine the world. Same. This was shloka number 3. In shloka number 4, the pratignya is I am eternal. Atma is eternal in nature. Why are we making that statement? Because if we see the destruction of Atma, it is not possible. And there are 3 ways destruction can be made. Self-destruction. But Atma cannot be destroyed on its own because there is pratyabhijna. Because there is a strong experience in the present of the past recollection. Whatever happened in the past, in my present, I have that recollection. And I say, this that I am experiencing now is what I had experienced in the past. That connection is telling me that there is a continuity of that. And the reason, there is a continuity of the other. So self-destruction. Huh. The example is like when I'm a child, I experience my parents. When I'm a grandparent, I'm experiencing grandchildren. But I remain the same. That is one example. Then the second reason, second way a destruction is possible is you take a stick and you break apart. So with a stick, you break apart, destruction is happening. So contact with something, there is a destruction. But here in the case of Atma, such destruction is not possible because Atma doesn't have any parts. In order for me to break something, it has to have parts. So you cannot break it. How? If we give an example, then it has to be like a space. Space is the very perfect example for this. Other things also cannot. I was thinking first in my mind, sand. You try to break up sand. You can put a line, and when you put that line, you are kind of separating. So it is a part. You made that separate. Then I was thinking, no, what about water? Again, you're putting water separate. You're separating it out by the object. Space. How can you destroy space? There is no destruction of space. That point is going to be taken up in shloka number 5. So an example of space. Right? There is no part, so its destruction is not possible. And third way a destruction is by destroying the cause. If you destroy the cause, the effect is also destroyed. But we are saying Atma is not an effect. Atma is not dependent on anything else. There is no ashraya for Atma. It is completely independent. So what? Again, it could be something like space only. But an example can be also taken as a pot and a clay, where the clay, the pot is a quality on the clay. So one can destroy the pot, but one cannot destroy the clay. Because clay is clay. It's a very basic nature. Therefore, Atma cannot be destroyed because of any of these three. Therefore, it is eternal. This was shloka number 4. Now, in shloka number 5, the second aspect, which is the destruction of Atma because of contact with something, samayoga, because of contacting with something, is not possible. That point is again taken up in a greater elaboration to give us some greater insight. But before we discuss this point, some some basic Vedantic concepts to understand. If you remember, we talked about Srishti Drishtivada and Drishti Srishtivada. Not again these Drishti Srishti and Srishti Drishti. This way we will remember also, and this concept will become a little bit clearer also. Okay, first the harder one, because here the point that is going to be mentioned is not of Drishti Srishtivada. So therefore we can take it easily. This is going to be talking about Srishti Drishtivada. So first, the Drishti Srishtivada says that the world that I see, that world is nothing but my mind. So the world that is projected outside is because of the mind. As long as the mind exists, the world exists. If I control my mind, if I shut down my mind, there is no world. So how does this person find liberation? Simply going to question the mind. Manasam tu kim? Simply asking this question. Are you a mind? Naiva manasam. And I come to know that I am not the mind. And the moment I come to know I am not the mind, the world is over. I don't have to do any sort of sadhana. This is the greatest sadhana. It may feel so simple for us, but it is the most toughest. So this Drishti Srishtivada is also called Eka Jeevavada. This is a terminology I'm throwing out because if in future you ever hear it, you will know. It is also called Eka Jeeva. So there are not multiple jivas. If those who are thinking about the world in this Drishti Srishtivada, they will say, who are you seeing right now? All these beings, who are they? They will not say these beings are somebody else. They'll say this is my mind's projection. So I am seeing in this class 10 more people. There are not really 10 more people. They're just 10 projections of my mind. There's only one jiva, and that is the mind. Mind is the jiva. And mind alone is the Ishvara. So one name is called Eka Jeevavada. Another name is called Satta Dvayavada. There is two Satta. What is the two Satta? The first Satta is Paramarthika Satta, that which is the absolute reality, which is the self, which is the Atma, the absolute reality. And the second is Pratibhasika Satta. Pratibhasika, illusory realm. So everything else is illusion. This is called Sattadvayavada. Now, what is Satta? Just to define what is Satta. So Satta is a realm or a plane where certain things exist. But its existence is not absolute its existence is temporary, based on certain time period. So that which is a reality, but its reality is not absolute, are the other sattas, and that which is the absolute reality, then it is regardless of time, regardless of space, regardless of object, is going to be the same. So by satta, that which is existing, that's what we're talking about. And its existential point is seen based on its circumstances, its workings, its situations. So in Drishti Srishti Vada, there is Satta Dvaya. All that I have said is not going to be related in the next coming shloka. So you can be at ease. Now, the vada that we all are familiar with and that we all love is the Srishti Drishti Vada. Because it's easy to relate to. In Drishti Srishti Vada, all these jivas who are here, everyone, so the other 11 people, these other 11 people are different jiva who were created by Ishvara. I did not create. I could not have created. So Bhagavan, he created, like how he created me, created all these other beings. So there's called Bahujiva Vada, or it is also Satta Treya Vada. There are three sattas. There are three existential reality. The first reality is the absolute reality, which is the reality of Atma, the reality of Brahman. That in that reality, only existence is. Other than existence, there is nothing. So that is what we call as Paramarthika Satta. And the second type of Satta is Vyavaharika Satta, where you can transact and the transaction is based on cause and effect. So certain things you say will have a consequence. Certain things that we do will have a consequence. So therefore, people are aware of what they need to do. If I take a bomb and throw it in the air, I can't assume that nothing's going to happen. It's going to come land in my house only. So therefore, I have to be careful. This is the Vyavaharika Satta. What I do has a consequence. And the third Satta is Pratibhasika Satta. Illusory existence. So in this realm, what I do has no consequence on my transactional reality. So what I dream of in my mind, I have no consequence whatsoever in the world around. So in my dream, if I throw a bomb up in the sky, even if it lands on my house, I still am going to be alive. The only thing that I will be woken up is from my dream. That's all. So imagining the world, but still that has no consequence, no effect on the transactional realm. So from that we learned that one has two consequences on the other. And likewise, the Vyavaharika Satta doesn't have a consequence on Paramarthika Satta. So what we do in a Vyavahara, in transaction, will have no consequence on Atma. And to show this idea itself, that these realms are completely separate and one does not have a consequence on the other, therefore Atma cannot be destroyed. So now here the proof will come that Atma is again eternal, but in a different way it is presented as eternal. It is presented as Vibhu, all pervading. So Atma is all pervading, and therefore it cannot destroy. So let's chant the shloka and then we'll see the meaning. Nashoshaploshavikledam. Chedaschinnabhaso mamam. Satyairapyanilagnyam bhaham. Shastrai kimuta kalpitaihi. Nashosha plosha vikleda chedaschinnabhaso mamam. Satyairapyanilagnyam bhaham. Shastrai kimuta kalpitaihi. Na shoshaha. Shoshaha means to dry up. Na aploshaha. Sorry, not aploshaha. Ploshaha. Ploshaha means to burn. Na shoshaha, na ploshaha. That na has to apply there also. Ploshaha means burning. Vikleda. Na vikleda. There is no wetting. What do you call in English? That which gets destroyed because of wetness. So there is no destruction by it becoming wet. That's it. And chedaha, and there is no cutting. There is no cutting. Chinnabhasaha mama. Me, the Atma, who is of the nature of consciousness. Chit Navasaha. Navasa means space. Chit, consciousness. So space of consciousness. Chidakasha. So me, who is this Chidakasha, there is no destruction caused by drying up, burning up. There is no destruction caused by getting wet, and there is no destruction caused by cutting. सत्यैहि अपि सत्यैहि फ्रॉम द सत्ता फ्रॉम द एक्सिस्टेंशियल पॉइंट ऑफ अनिलः अनिलः means wife air agni fire ambha water shastra and sword kimuta kalpitai then Kimuta. Kimuta is like, how can you then say that? Kalpitaihi. Kalpitaihi by that which is imagined. Okay. So now putting all of this together. The nature of Atma is such that it cannot destroy, it cannot be destroyed by water, fire, air, or earth. There is no possibility. That is the point proven. So first is air. What can air do? Air has the quality to dry up whatever is in, whatever it has the ability to dry up. Like how the leaves are dried up and they perish. Fruits, you leave it for a long time, they shrink, they shrivel. So like that, air has the capability of drying up the essence. But Atma doesn't get dried up. This you keep in mind. Na chinnabhasaha mama. Me, who is the Atma, who is of the nature of consciousness. For me, there is no drying up. Okay, then fire. So we know fire can easily burn a pot, fire can burn paper, fire can burn wood. So like that, it cannot burn. Okay. Then the third thing was water. Water, if you leave certain things in water for a long time, what happens? They get wet and then they start getting bad. So you leave vegetables in the water for a long time. What happens? It's going to become so mushy and then it's no longer good. For that matter, if you leave your own skin in water for so long, what happens? Right? Our skin itself changes the texture. And you know, if we leave it for too long, then our skin actually disintegrates. So we may even lose our top layer of the skin. I don't know about the bottom layer, but at least I can tell the top layer will have loss. So our skin gets destroyed, but Atma doesn't get destroyed. And finally, the earth material, which is the shastra, sword. You take a sword and you cut the sugar cane. Then you have two sugar cane. Then you can you know, have nice juice. So you can use the weapons to cut something. Okay. Now, this word that is used is satyehi api. These you take, and instead of applying them to Atma, apply that to their Satta only. Meaning, in which Satta are these four found? Where do you find water? Where do you find air? Where do you find earth? Where do you find fire? They are all found in Vyavaharika Satta. They're all found in transactional reality, right? So, air, fire, water, earth, all found in transactional reality. And isn't space also part of transactional reality? Right? So, the fifth element is the space. Space is found in the transactional reality. And these four have no impact on the space itself. Satyehi kalpitehi. So this satta, that which is imaginary, that which is a projection. If these four elements, which can destroy anything in this creation, if we think about destruction ever possible, it will only come by these four. Space can never create a destruction. Space will never destroy anything because space is not touched by anything. So the only thing, only four things that can touch are these things. Only thing that can touch somebody to kill somebody are these three things, are these four things. Therefore, they cannot touch the space which is of the same existential reality. Kimuta? And how can you say it will have any impact on the Atma which is beyond that reality itself? Atma is not in the imaginary reality, is not a projected reality. Space is a projection, air is a projection, fire, water, earth, all of these are projection. So, Atma is beyond this projected reality. If these four things that destroy things in the world cannot even touch space, how can it touch Atma? Because Atma is even pervasive than space. That is what is mentioned by Kimuta. So point is, it is not possible. There is nothing in this creation that can ever destroy Atma. Why is indestructible. Another way to also think about it is this, that there are two ways destruction is possible. One is natural causes, right? So when we take earth, water, fire, and air, these are natural causes. So tornado comes, that's air destruction. Hurricane, then tsunami, or you know, great downpour of water, there's destruction there. Floods, fire, like how it's happening in California. Maybe not right now, but when it does happen. So fire, and then earth, earthquake. So natural causes can cause a lot of destruction in the transaction of reality. That is destruction by one aspect. And another is man-made destruction. Shastra. So weapons that are there are made by men. So human created and nature created, both are mentioned in this shloka and said, both of these cannot touch space. How can it ever touch the Atma? It never can. Therefore, Atma is indestructible. And then Swayam Prakashati ji never leaves it like that. He always has a quotation to go along with what he says. I am not saying any of this. This is Taduktam Bhagavata. My Bhagavan alone has this said in Bhagavad Gita. Achedyo yamadahyoyam akledyo shoshya evacha nitya sarvagatasthanuhu achalam yo achalo achalo yam sanatanah. So Bhagavan only said, I am nitya, eternal, sarvagatah, all pervasive, sthanuhu, ever there, and achalaha, unchanging. This is the nature of the self. And it is never destroyed by any of these four elements. Therefore, destruction by coming in contact with something is not possible for Atma at all. That is proven now. Right. Any questions?
I see that these three stanzas from Bhagavad Gita is quoted here in a nutshell. Achedyo yam adahyo adahyo achedyo achedyo yam adahyo yam. The other one is nainam chintanti shastrani.
Correct. Yes, yes, even that shloka is applicable here.
So Dhiranji, this one, whatever is explained now, that destruction is not possible, that is explained because this is based on the Satta Dvayavada, right? Because in the Drishti Srishtivada, this question never comes. Because there is...
Satta Trayavada. Satta Dvaya is Drishti Srishtivada. Satta Traya.
Traya, okay.
In Satta Dvaya, there is no Vyavahara. There is only Pratibhasika. There is a Vyavaharika. Sorry, not where. There is Paramarthika and then there is a Pratibhasa. This is Sattadvaya.
Okay.
Two Sattas. In Sattatraya, that is the Srishti Drishtivada, which is explained here in the shloka. So the reason why I mentioned this idea in the beginning is to get us into that thinking that when we talk about satta, one satta is mutually exclusive from the other satta. They do not mix and match. But one can have an impact on the other, like how the vyavaharika satta can impact the pratibhasika satta. Meaning, what we experience in the vyavahara, in transaction, that can be experienced in our dream. Because the mind is carried from the vyavahara into pratibhasika. Therefore, that can happen. But in the other direction, not possible. You cannot, even though mind is carried from dream to this world, whatever you imagine, that does not change the vyavahara. It can give us a different outlook, but it cannot change the
vyavahara. Dhiranji, isn't it the paramarthik or the absolute reality has a basis for remaining two realities? Remaining two realities don't exist if the absolute reality doesn't support it. Isn't it true? Vyavaharika reality and transcendental reality has to depend on the absolute reality. It's the basis of all this reality, isn't it true?
Yes. So the paramarthika satta supports it, but the paramarthika satta doesn't interfere with it. That's the point. So supporting it is different, and that's what is happening with even pratibhasika satta. The pratibhasika satta, the illusory world that we imagine in the dream, is supported by the mind. And where is the mind? Mind is the vyavaharika mind. So in the transactional reality, whatever we experience, that mind is only supporting the dream mind. So it is only supported. That's all.
This stanza leaves you in the limbo, though. It doesn't other than the absolute, it doesn't tell you anything more than that, what we already know, right? It doesn't create any question answer with this.
Well, the biggest point about this is that these four elements have no impact on space, which is of the same reality, then how can it ever impact Atma? This begs us to question. And when you actually question about it, it should give us that idea of fearlessness. Why are we afraid of these all objects in the world? Just because it will have an impact on this body? Yes. But then what does that mean? I am attached to my body. That's why I can't. I'm not fearless. I'm fearful. If Naraji was attached with his body, then he would have been afraid of Ratnakar. But because he showed that he was not afraid, he's not attached with his body, Ratnakar saw there was a greater truth than this reality that he lives. Or same way for Angulimal, who was approached by Buddha.
So, Dhiranji, can we apply the pratijna hetu dharana for this shloka also?
Yes. So, what is the pratijna? The pratijna is the same as last, that Atma is indestructible, imperishable. So, that is the pratijna. Why are we saying that? The reason for saying that is because there is no destruction, na shosha, plosha, vikleda, cheda of the space only. And because it is not there, then how can it be there for us? So the example is like how, well, I guess that could be the example for Atma. Sorry, that could be the example that it doesn't destroy the space only. So the Hetu will be, or the reasoning will be, is these cannot destroy Atma.
So this verse reinforces the last verse is the indestructibility of Atma.
Yes, it is.
It reinforces it. Yeah.
It is elaborating the second point that the destruction by contact with something is not possible for Atma. So the Hetu or the reason for making the statement that Atma is indestructible is because Atma cannot be dried up, burnt up, or wetted or cut by the four elements. And why are we saying that? The example is because these four elements cannot even destroy the space. Now, I don't want to start the next one because the next one is a little challenging to think. So not really challenging, but you know, I want to give a little time to build up the topic and explain, then to just explain and then leave everybody confused. So we'll not take up the next topic, next point, but I can at least tell what is the next point about. So same point, the destruction of Atma is not possible, continues, which is now to prove that Atma is Sarvagata, is again all pervasive. And by saying all pervasive, it is presenting the idea. So that will be taken up. This one was fairly simple than the other ones, right?
So these two vadas are all part of Advaita, right? Trishti Srishti Vada.
Yeah, both are Advaita philosophy, just seen from a different angle. That's
this is easier to understand because you already studied in Gita. We already reinforced with the same ideas.
Sorry, I didn't follow.
Yeah. This is become easier because you already understood this in second chapter ahead this one. So it's already in our head. So it's easier to grasp it.
So if there are no questions, then we can do prayer and we can conclude a little early today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Okay, Harihi Om.
Thank you.
Harihi Om Swami. Harihi Om Dhiranji.
Hari Om, Anita ji.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dhiren ji. Hari Om.
Thank you, Dhiren ji. Hari Om.